Hey guys, welcome to the infamous podcast, Star Wars The Force Awakens Extravaganza. Johnny just stole my notes. What's going on, Johnny?
Not much.
So, okay. So you know, this will be a spoiler-heavy review. It's really hard to accidentally listen to a podcast. So with that being said, if you haven't seen Star Wars The Force Awakens, turn this off, save it in your favorite podcatching app, go back, watch the movie, and then come back and listen to it.
If you haven't seen the movie by now, there's something wrong.
Well, some people couldn't get out the weekend, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so, all right, we saw The Force Awakens yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday. So we went opening day at 9 a.m.
Never again.
Too early?
I was very tired afterwards.
Yeah. And then I actually went and saw it again today. We're recording this on Saturday with the Kid Bot 07.
You did say that already.
And the Wife Tron.
You said Saturday twice.
Oh, well. It's
way too early.
Anyway, so that being said, initial thoughts.
I liked it. I, you know, on the fence, but I liked it. I'm on that side of the fence, standing by the fence.
Sure.
And that, little more explanation of some things would have been better, I guess you would say.
Yeah. So, we left the movie yesterday and didn't talk about this really at all. It was just the explanation you just gave. And I said I liked it. And I thought about it through the day. And then you sent me a note on Facebook last night. And we had probably more of a discussion than we intended to have about it.
Yeah. I didn't say much, though. It was more what's in your notes,
so,
obviously.
And so, I mean, I wrote this down because
I wasn't trying to say anything because I didn't want to, you know, taint your point of view because I knew you were going to see it again.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this. Watching it the second time, I was way more just relaxed.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it better than the first viewing.
Was I the only relaxed person in that theater yesterday?
I think, you know, maybe. Because you, I was watching some of your reactions and stuff. And, I mean, you laughed when you were supposed to laugh. And,
right.
You know, there was shock and awe when there was supposed to be shock and awe. So I felt like it succeeded in giving you what you needed as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And for me, it did as well. But, you know, just to break it down, I loved Rey and Poe. They were my two favorite characters.
Yeah. Enough Poe.
And I understand why we didn't get as much Poe in this one.
Right.
You know, because we're reintroduced to the actual Star Wars universe.
Yeah, you are reintroduced, but there's a lot that they left out that just that crawl doesn't explain.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, how is he the most daring pilot? I mean, we got to see, his mad piloting skills.
Trained by Han and Luke, I guess.
Who knows, you know? But, yeah.
Obviously, I mean, if you're a major fan, then you read Shattered Empire, The Force Awakens, like, build-up book that Marvel put out.
By Greg Rucka.
Luke knows Poe's parents.
Well, and Poe's mom and dad were both A-Wing fighters, and his mom was pretty,
like, one of the best pilots.
Badass.
In,
I mean,
that,
she was
in
a,
the or in the Alliance.
She was a flying ace, if you will.
Yeah. So, I mean, that obviously is, you know, without saying.
I really think this, you know, I think this set the stage for the new Star Wars universe as the foundation.
Yeah.
So, like, we have an I guess understanding is not the right word, but we have a vision of what this new world looks like post fall of the Empire.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're going to spend the next few films, you know, the other two in this trilogy and then the anthology films filling in the nuance.
Well, right. I think they've already said the anthologies are going to bounce around everywhere in the timeline.
Yeah,
so,
it's not all prequels, which is awesome. I was happy to hear that.
Yeah, and I think obviously with the loss that happened in the movie, a Han Solo prequel will be cool.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know.
I agree. I'll be excited to see. I did see one reviewer say that they thought seeing a Han Solo prequel movie now was just stupid because you know what happens to him. And it's like, no, it makes it...
No.
If you do it right, it makes it more powerful.
Well, it's the whole thing that the prequel story should be the story showing how Han and Chewbacca came together.
Yeah, Han and the Imperial Academy.
Yeah, Han and the Imperial Academy. What made him decide, you know, this isn't the life for me.
Yeah.
And that maybe in an early encounter with one of the bounty hunters, it does not have to be Boba Fett.
Please don't make it be Boba Fett.
Because there was a story in the Expanded Universe where him and Dengar had a run-in when they were younger.
Yeah.
And that's why Dengar was wearing the bodysuit that he was wearing. So
that would be cool.
I mean, you know, I don't know where they're planning to go with it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, even though, and, you know, obviously, spoilers, Han Solo dies.
Yep.
Were you surprised?
Killed by his own. I was surprised. So, if you've seen this, you know, like, as he's walking out on that ramp, a stormtrooper comes out.
Right.
And he's walking out on that ramp, and you're like, okay, this is Empire all over again. One of these two is going to die. Obviously, it's not going to be Adam Driver.
Right.
I did not think necessarily Adam Driver, Kylo Ren, would kill Han. I thought it was probably going to be he was going to start to come back to the light.
Yeah.
And then Han gets assassinated by that trooper in the balcony. Well, and that just pushed Ren over the dark side. And then that freed him up then to be redeemed later on.
Right.
I see zero redemption available for this character.
Right, and that literally, like, you know, you're sitting on one side of me, my girlfriend's sitting on the other side, and when he walked out there, my girlfriend leaned over and said, he's going to kill him.
He's a goner. Yeah.
She did. She literally, like, before he even got close to him, she leaned over and said, he's going to kill him. And I'm like, I just shook my head because I could see it coming.
I mean, in the way he killed him was great.
Well, it was the Obi-Wan Vader confrontation over again.
And so, like,
instead of Luke yelling no, it was Chewie. And I was like, that was awesome.
And then when Chewie just started, like, as a one-man Wookiee or one-Wookiee
crew, he took out everybody.
He just took them all out
and
then blew up the building. I have to say, like, this movie is set up to be part of a larger story.
Well, sure.
In 1977... George Lucas was lucky to get Star Wars made.
Right.
And, you know, so getting the idea of doing three was not anywhere on the table from the get-go. So the first one had to be, like, Star Wars had to be a full story.
It was either, well, Star Wars was either make or break. And that, I mean, Lucas had nine stories planned out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Star Wars was make or break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't make it, oh well.
Yeah.
It's going to be like any other sci-fi game, movie.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we'll never see another one.
Right, yeah. So. I mean, you know.
But, so I think people who might be, like, maybe disappointed or feel like they were left hanging, there's a reason for that.
Well, it's the thing that, you know, and J.J. Abrams actually, you know, followed through on a story. And started a story, and this is the first chapter, obviously, of a story. But there were things where you were like, kind of like, okay, shouldn't we have seen something here? Why is that there? Type thing, I guess. More with Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren.
Well,
because I think the Knights of Ren, we know they're out there.
We need to know more about them.
Right. And it's like, you know, I don't want to go buy a book and have to read a book to do that. Even though some of those books I do enjoy, but I don't want to have to do that.
No, I agree with that.
Like
Overlord Snoke was set up just like the Emperor was set up the first time around. Like we have, he probably had even a little more character development than
what we originally had with the Emperor. Know him, like Han and Leia talk about Snoke, so they know him. They know who he is. It's like, but that dude's in hiding somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, by the end of the movie, he's like, bring Kylo to me. He needs to be turned to the dark side.
He needs to finish his training.
Right, So it's like, who is this guy? And where did he come from?
Yeah.
You know, which is fine, because you do need a little bit of mystery, because I think the next movie will focus on him.
Yeah.
And will focus on Rey's training.
It's going to be like a giant two-hour montage of dark side versus Jedi training.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to have to get the best around song from Karate Kid.
Sure.
You know, just to play while they're lightsaber dueling in their
respective dojos. No, they should get Vince DiCola to do the music, and have the Rocky sequence.
There you go. I love that. I think the next one we'll get a lot of training montages for sure.
So, with all the hype that was on certain characters, did you like BB-8?
I did. I really liked BB-8.
Okay.
because he had a personality.
Right.
Like, I, you know, when he first came out, like I told you, I mean, oh God, another CGI character. He's not CGI. Right. He's practical effect. I think most of it is practical effect.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that everything with him was practical effect, except maybe when he got pulled up into the X-Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and he that, probably was the practical effect, and the CG effect right, was the
pulling
hook,
it up. Yeah.
Pulling him up. So, yeah.
But that little head.
Yeah.
Conveyed so much emotion.
Yeah.
That it was like, all right, man, this little guy, like, is the heir apparent to R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like, before watching it, it's like, okay, he's somewhere between Chopper and R2.
Well, and he... And no, to me, I mean, he seemed like a kid.
Yeah, he's just
like
a little...
Like, he was just a young droid.
He's new. He's, yeah. His, you know, his I mean, memory banks
They talked
full.
About the BB units, but I'm like, you know, obviously the BB units haven't been around long.
And I mean, Poe even said he's one of a kind.
Yeah.
So
maybe he was the one that made it, and the rest of them didn't. And he's, him and Poe, you could tell that they are best friends.
Yeah, it was really cool, because he was like, buddy!
Yeah.
So, and, like, so with Poe. Well, I mean, are we done with BB-8?
Yeah, we're done with BB-8.
So,
it's just, you know, he was overly hyped.
Although, when finding out that it was Bill Hader and the guy that plays John Ralphio as the voice John Ralphio from Parks and Rec, I forget the actor's name.
Ben Mankiewicz.
Yeah, Ben something.
Maybe Mankiewicz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I could think of now is, like, when he's talking, he's just, like, rapping like John Ralphio.
Yeah.
And then going one word too long.
Well, you know that, that video is going to...
Oh, yeah.
That'll show
so,
up.
Yeah. But, no. So, Poe was great. His enthusiasm, you know, his love for flying reminds me of Hera from Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, he was very much in the vein of Luke. You know, like, I put down here, like, you know, Rey and Poe knew Luke and Han.
Right.
And I meant to flip that.
Okay.
I think she's going to be the new Han.
Really?
I really do. I don't think she's going to be that spiritual, like, leader Jedi thing. And I think Poe is a natural leader for the Resistance.
Well, yeah. He's...
When Carrie Fisher gets killed, when Princess Leia or General Leia gets killed in the next one. I think they're going to bump them off sequentially.
I don't think they're going to.
So...
She'll be the one that sticks around, if any of them stick around. And that, I can see Luke sticking around to the end, too. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you don't have to kill all the main characters off.
Yeah, I would like if they don't.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest.
JJ got his one in,
yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, Harrison Ford, we know, probably just came back as a favor for this one. Favor to Disney and a favor to...
I mean, he came back. He was the spotlight for a good part of the movie.
It was fine, because it was a character who... You know, when we left them, they were on Endor and they were celebrating. And it's like, now you see him 30 years later and, you know, his sons pretty much became a bane of his existence.
Yeah.
You know,
he's reverted. He's gone back to what he was like pre.
I mean,
introduction to Luke.
Kylo Ren is Ben Solo.
Yep.
And, you know, Ben betrayed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And is working for the First Order, who they could have just called the Empire, and it would have been fine.
I'm curious about that as to why they're not the Empire.
Well, because the Empire fell, and the First Order, like, rose up out of the ashes, and
it's still
they look like they're as much of a rebellion as anything.
Yeah, are they another resistance group? So.
I'd like to know where they got the money to build that damn space station planet, though. You know,
Starkiller Base, or whatever Starkiller
Base is what it was,
which was cool. Like, it wasn't just a Death Star. You know, they cut a weapon into the side of a planet, and they steal suns.
Yeah, yeah.
And it became a sun.
I was waiting for Malcolm McDowell to show up and kill Captain Kirk and blow a sun up. You know, they borrowed some things from other stuff, and I thought it. You know,
that's fine.
You know,
I mean, they all do.
And the best part was they borrowed from the expanded universe.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, using Ben as the name of one of the main character's kids, killing off a main character. Mm-hmm. At least it was not Chewbacca this time. I thought when he got shot, I was like, oh no, they're going to.
he's gonna die of, like, laser poisoning or something. Like, you know, I will say this: there was it wasn't just Peter Mayhew in the Wookiee costume.
Yeah,
and you could tell when the younger guy was in the costume because he just moved so much smoother. Because
he was moving.
When they're planting the bombs, when he's up, like, killing, it's like, I think it's like Peter Mayhew when he's pretty much just, like, in the standing still shots.
Well, when he a lot of the interaction shots with Han and that, and I mean, at one point when they're on the. the resistance base, and he's telling the nurse when she's like patching him up about it, and it was like hilarious because it's like you don't get to see that much of Chewbacca.
Oh, you're so very brave. So there's all that, and then so some questions I have.
Sure.
Why did Luke run away? And then part sub question that: why do Jedi do this?
I think that Luke left because he was ashamed.
Okay.
I think that Kylo probably killed a lot of kids.
Well, in Rey's vision, it looks like something
like that, but they didn't really go into detail with it. And I'm sure next movie we'll probably see more detail of that. But I mean, if you were teaching the next generation of your kind, and you know, the one that was closest to you, your nephew,
your blood, your
turns
blood.
On you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing that Yoda and Obi-Wan did. Why even teach anybody this stuff if they're just going to go bad?
You know,
and it's safer for me to go away. That's kind of the way I picked it up, is it was safer for him to leave and leave them all behind. And leave it a big question and become an
urban legend, if you will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just that was a question I have, what I want to learn more about. Who was Overlord or Supreme Leader Snoke? You know, where did he come from?
Yeah.
Is he Ezra Bridger?
I think he's a clone of Palpatine.
You think so?
I think he's a clone that's independently thinking.
Yeah.
But he had resemblances to Palpatine.
And he did.
But he looked damaged.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a clone could be damaged. Yeah.
We saw that in the Clone Wars cartoon. Yeah. We talked about 99, who was a damaged clone.
So yeah. I was like, okay, maybe he's some kind of clone that.
And then I want to learn more about this galaxy's political landscape.
I think that would be better to explain in a book.
For me, that's where
maybe one of these guidebooks will have that in it. So that's cool.
It'd be a fun political intrigue story.
And I mean, that's fine. And you could tell that like the Republic existed as its own entity, and the Resistance was an entity of its own that the Republic was just supporting.
Yeah, they were helping. I think maybe it was perhaps the
weapons and arms is probably what it was.
Almost like an Iran-Contra kind of thing back in the day, or you know, the Republic doesn't necessarily have the means to get to the outer rim.
Right. Yeah, they have a fleet. Yeah. Obviously, they mentioned the fleet. Well, I don't think the fleet got destroyed.
I hope not, in that whole scene
with the Starkiller base destroying that planet and that.
The whole system. It was four planets. Right. Yeah. You know. So.
But I mean, you know, the fleet obviously. At this point, they have to be like somewhere near Coruscant.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be more than that. It was cool seeing Admiral Ackbar.
It was.
I think that was Nine Nob. I don't know for sure if that was Nine Nob. That was the X-Wing pilot. You know, he was doing the X-Wing pilot thing, but it looked like him.
It did look like him.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, if you've read the Marvel comics, Nine Nob knows Princess Leia. Yeah. So I could see that being a thing where he would be with the Resistance. Admiral Ackbar, they actually aged the character.
Yeah, it was really
so
cool. Was like he, like, cool I like the new design, like he the has design more, and like, the aging
yeah,
on him.
Yeah, aged
so.
On his, like his neck has a more hanging down.
And I was not happy to see Greg Grunberg.
Why not?
He just took me right out of it.
Did he?
Because he's so, like, for me, like.
Because he's recognizable? Because,
well, like, I liked Heroes. Like, I watched Felicity, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of, like, he's in all of J.J. Abrams stuff, basically.
Him and J.J. are friends.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Right.
But, like, in that role, it just took me right out. Like, seeing Billy Lord did not take me out of it.
If you didn't know who she was, like, you wouldn't matter.
But, like, having him be, like, one of the focal, like, X-Wing guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. He should have been like Porkins Jr. or something, and I might have been okay with it. But
it was just one of those things. For me, it was just, hey, there he is. Because he played the voice as a computer in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that, so that was his, you know, thing.
He was on the second one, the Into Darkness. He was the voice of the.
Oh, I thought he was a voice
RoboCop's
on...
computer ship.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then General Hux.
General Hux.
We have a lot we need to learn about Bill Weasley.
Well, it's the whole. It was the whole thing where it's like, you know, like I said, the First Order. Obviously, in the first movie, the First Order is not going to be a big deal, anyways. And I seen that like somebody complaining about the soundtrack because there wasn't much themes for characters or for like the Empire or First Order, I guess you would say, and I'm like, there was themes. Yeah. It's just, you know, there wasn't a theme for the Imperial March until Empire Strikes Back. Right. So it's like, stop your bitching, you know, because it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought the soundtrack over, which you picked up, which is really cool.
Two freebies in there from Target.
Those are cool.
Target had exclusives.
Oh, that's awesome. There, yeah, the downed tie. I'll say this. I want to know more about his conditioning programming that he's doing with these the kids. Clones. Well, they're not clones.
They're not clones, and they actually had a conversation about a clone army.
Maybe we should have a clone
army. Yeah, they might operate better. But I was even thinking, like, how do they promote up?
Yeah.
It's like, was Hux one of those stormtroopers? And, talking about him, and there he is in the book.
Yeah, so
he was awesome. He was great. He was
villainous, man. I mean, he's a bad guy.
You know what I wish they would have done, though? I wish they would have named him Piet.
Yeah.
And had him as Admiral Piet's son.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of cool to, you know, show that.
A nice tie-in.
People on both sides lived on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, on a whole, the movie was fun. It was cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way when people ask, like, did you like it or not? I say, yes, it was a Star Wars movie.
Daisy Ridley did steal the movie.
Yeah.
She definitely did.
She was awesome.
And the best part is like, the kids in that universe now know about Jedi and that. So when she realized that she had the abilities, she focused.
When she was in the torture chair.
Oh, yeah.
And that was awesome. You know, when they were battling at the end.
When James Bond threatened her.
Yeah, when Daniel Craig was like, I'll tighten it. And she's like, you'll let me out. And he's like, I'll let you out.
Yeah.
And like, it was great too, because he kind of stiffened up a little bit.
Right.
Like,
showed. He was under control.
And then we have to talk at least for a minute about Boba Phasma. I mean, Captain Phasma.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I hope not. I really hope they don't.
Gwendolyn Christie, yep. Right? So, I hope they don't waste her that
way. Well, I was reading that, like, and I don't know how true this is or not, because it wasn't, like, sourced, but I was reading that maybe she was cast a little bit later.
It was supposed to be a man.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a man. I did read that, and she came in, and they were like, okay, this is perfect.
Yeah, her voice was perfect for
it. Dude, she's taller than any man I've known.
I loved when Chewie tackled her.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. She said something to me about that. Yeah. She goes, he's just a little bit taller than her. Yeah. And I said, yeah, she's tall.
She's a very tall woman. And, I mean, she's great on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I really hope she comes back.
That's what I mean. I mean, as good as she is on Game of Thrones, that's why I say I hope they didn't waste her character.
So, and you know, I mean, having someone like that with Hux, like, they need to have more of an alliance between those two, which maybe they do and we didn't see.
You know, John Boyega needs an enemy of his own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Boyega.
Yeah, Boyega.
You said Boyega.
Did I say Boyega? Boyega. Sorry, John. I thought he was awesome.
He was, his enthusiasm. Well, what it was is, you know,
he was the, and you know, nothing against him or anything. He was the C-3PO and R2-D2 of this movie. He literally brought everybody together.
Yeah, he was. He was the connective tissue.
And it was one of those things where it was just like C-3PO and R2-D2. He was the fish out of water also, where it was like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, he was raised in a stormtrooper training camp, basically. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't know anything.
I mean, the best line that he had about his origin is, I don't know who my parents are and never will, no.
Lando Calrissian. If it's that, I might, if they do that, I might get up and walk out of it.
Yeah.
It's just too coincidental.
But I do hope that Lando Calrissian is in the next one.
Well,
I think that I think with Han dying, that it needs to be at least acknowledged in the next one, because he didn't really acknowledge it at the end of this one.
I think maybe finding Rey and Chewie on the Falcon, and Lando's like,
yeah,
what's going, like, raises the eyebrow, like, what's happening here, you know. And it doesn't have to be a whole arc of Lando.
No, just Lando, like, coming back.
I love the idea that Lando just retired after the Death Star, and he's like living on a beach planet, like,
with a bunch of bikini-clad women.
Yeah,
so drinking Colt 45.
Richer than he could ever, you know, hope to. More money than he could ever.
See, I was thinking more along the lines of, wouldn't it be awesome if Lando Calrissian was the president of the Republic?
There you go. That would be cool too.
He connived his way in there.
Hello. No, you know, I think the characters all, like, well, just real quick about Finn. I didn't think of the analogy.
What was the FN2837?
Yeah, something. TK427. Why aren't you at your post? Yeah, that was great. But no, with Finn, the whole fish out of water thing, I did not see the 3PO R2 correlation there.
Yeah,
but
it was just like, man, right. He brought everybody together because he like helps Poe escape.
Yeah.
He meets Rey. Mm-hmm. He finds BB-8. He gets BB-8 back. Right. They find the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. It's like everything that you're like, this dude's pulling them all together.
Yeah. Not and that like piece of junk.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
That was so cool.
And to have Han say, yeah, they stole it from me. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, that happens.
I believe that it could happen. You won it in a card game. I mean, you know. Yeah.
So it's the Millennium Falcon is the galaxy's most valuable currency.
Yeah. well, once they realized what ship it was, everybody was like, "What?
What?" So
because I think that ship was, a definite flag carrier.
Yeah.
You know, it carried flag of the
rebellion.
Rebellion.
It's iconic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like one of those things where it's like as soon as that ship showed up, everybody in the New Order like almost fell over.
Yeah.
And that because they were like, they realized what ship it was.
They're all wetting their stormtrooper costumes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and obviously it had some kind of beacon on it to call Han.
Yep. Yeah, that which was awesome. So cool. He's...
What are you doing on my ship?
We're the others.
Yeah.
So.
Who else is here with you?
Yeah, I like the whole thing on his giant freighter where they were transporting those monsters.
Yeah, I would like to see a little bit more of the monsters.
That
would
have been kind of cool. The way Rey saved Finn in that matter was really cool. And then she was like, lucky, you know? Yeah. Like, didn't, you know.
Yeah, she was trying not to hint that she had
understated,
the abilities. As soon as she started flying the Falcon, I leaned over to her and said, oh, she's a Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm like, she can't be that good just jumping in that ship.
I was thinking, you know, my Dune brain.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she was pre-born.
Yeah, right.
So she had the spice of our the water of life when she was still in utero.
So how did you feel about the ending?
As far as like the ending with Han or the ending?
The ending with her going to the planet that was the first Jedi temple.
Yeah, you know, she had the vision of it.
Yeah, the island. So, the island in the water.
And Kylo now has that vision. But,
you know, Kylo's so selfish and whiny that I don't think he'll be able to find it.
He's a petulant child.
Oh, the scene where he throws a fit because she escapes and the two stormtroopers come walking down the hall, just turn around and walk
the one puts his hand on the other one's chest and they just kind of
turned around and kept walking.
But, and then he did it like the other time where he destroyed the first order, choked the guy over to him. I was cool with it. I would have liked to have heard Mark Hamill like have a line in this movie, just a line.
Hello and there.
Yeah, it would have been ideal.
Yeah,
the Obi-Wan, because you know Alec Guinness and.
Well, and you said to me, you think that Rey, you know, tying it to Rebels, that Rey could be Ezra Bridger's kid.
Yeah, I said I hope that she's Ezra Bridger and Sabine's daughter.
I think that she's Luke's kid.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when he turned around, it's like, oh, you finally found me.
Yeah, you found
me. You know, I left you behind on that desert planet. Well, you know, that's never been done before.
And, you know, I think leaving her behind happened after the second death of the Jedi.
Yeah.
You know.
After Ben went bad. And that, because I think that she was younger. I would have liked to seen who she was left with that wasn't there anymore.
She was left with the guy with the rations. He was holding her arm.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and just because I saw it the second time, I was paying attention.
You caught it a little bit more. I loved her accommodations, being
a fallen AT-AT.
A fallen AT-AT was her accommodations.
I'm excited to get
Battlefront. I just want that screenshot
of
that AT-AT laying in the dust.
I'm excited to get Battlefront to play the Battle of Jakku to learn more about it. I think her being Luke's kid makes sense. I think her having Han Solo sensibilities adds to
and
that
the
character.
You know, the whole thing with her, you know, admiring Han.
Yeah, as a father. Like, very quickly, like their interactions were great.
Oh,
you know, when he offered her the job, the look, the smile that came across Daisy Ridley's face.
Yeah.
It's like, I hope that was one of the first scenes they shot because, you know, it carried her for the rest of it. The only real issues I had was, you know, I kind of felt like it could have been 15 minutes longer. and given us a couple more scenes here and there about the First Order.
Well, right.
Tell us more about the Republic. Like, where exactly are they? Because it was like the Handan system or something like that. Is that Coruscant? I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Look. I don't. So you know, I'd have to buy a book.
I'm a nerd, but like I'm not.
I'm a nerd enough that I looked at the art of Force Awakens yesterday at Barnes & Noble, and I will be buying that, and I'll probably buy the visual guide because the visual guide usually has explanations of characters and that in it. I don't know how far beyond that.
Yeah.
The books that are like the Journey to Force Awakens and the one that came out this week that was before The Awakening.
Oh, okay.
The only reason I'm really tempted to buy them is because of the Phil Noto covers.
Right.
I'm like, you know, it's like, damn, that art is just so fine that it's like, you know, just I'll take the covers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. Cut it right off. You know.
But
otherwise, you know, it was a good movie, but 500 and some odd days, we got to wait until the next one comes out.
Well, I mean, we have Rogue One next.
Yeah.
So.
Where was the trailer for that at? They are shooting right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I kind of wish they would have had a trailer.
Like, just
that.
A sneak peek It would have been
something. Yeah. You know, Forrest Whitaker flying an X-Wing. Oh,
Forrest Whitaker in it?
He is, yeah.
Wow.
That was my other issue, is when they made their attack on Starkiller Base, they only had X-Wing. What happened to the B-Wings? What happened to the Y-Wings? What happened to the A-Wings?
They didn't have A-Wings or B-Wings in the first Star Wars movie.
Well, I know, but they had them in Return of the Jedi, and this is after Return. So I'm just curious as to, like,
They're flying with the Republic.
Yeah, maybe. So,
like I said, it seemed like the thing the Republic probably was supplying the Resistance was weapons and tactical data. And
fuel, maybe. You know,
They were supplying them, but they couldn't have a all-out war with the First Order because they're still a young government.
Yeah, they're only 14 years old.
Right, yeah. So 14?
30. 30, sorry. Yeah. No.
You're in the Rebels range.
Yeah, I was thinking Rebels. My bad.
Yeah. But even 30 years old,
a government is still young.
They
have a lot of time.
Hell, the United States would have almost fallen apart because of the Civil War at one point. So, I mean, that was, what, 40 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy. No, so I gave it 2 thumbs up. I mean, if we're, like, rating it.
Are we Siskel and Ebert?
We are. I'm going to lose my jaw at some point. Sorry.
Wow, that was too soon. That was cold. Anyway, that was very cold.
Because he didn't smoke either, because the other one, Ebert, or Siskel was the one that smoked.
Yeah.
And Ebert didn't, and he's the one who got the jaw cancer, which sucked. Anyway, on a lighter note. No, I enjoyed this. I may go see it one more time, actually.
I'll probably see it after Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm going to wait a little bit, let the crowds die down.
Yeah, I was going to say the crowds. It wasn't that bad in the theater that we seen it in.
No, and, I was shocked at how many people were there.
I was not, just because, you know. But
I figured 9 a.m. it wouldn't be that bad. There were actually more people there yesterday than there were at the same time today.
Really?
But that being said, it was still
pretty
full.
Well, it was mainly the people that didn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a lot of them.
But
I mean, you know, let us know what you thought of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to hear, you know, this is...
I want theories.
Much,
fan
pretty
theories.
Much, you know, cut me open, I believe, Star Wars. You know, it's been in my life since...
It's the Tauntaun since the beginning. Inside you. I said that on Friday.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, I personally would like to hear from people. Tell me what you thought about it. Tell me what you're thinking of what might be coming.
Yeah, so, like, email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, definitely just
and
comment
let us
on
know,
Facebook.
You know, if you're going to do something, like, write spoiler in front of it just so people know for the next couple days at least. But let us know what you thought. Are you happy with it, sad with it?
Yeah,
blah,
if
blah,
you
blah.
Email us, we'll read it on
Oh, yeah,
here.
If you read
I
it,
mean,
we'll,
you know,
we'll definitely
we'll
do
read
that.
It on here.
And then give us your theories. We want to know what you think is coming next because... This is something Johnny and I talk about.
Yeah.
Like, long before they announced they were making Star Wars movie, we would talk about what would happen in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. So.
I mean, it's always been one of those things where, you know, the expanded universe was cool because it gave you a lot of answers to stuff. But it's like, you know, to see it again.
And without an expanded universe. Right. I mean, with a fledgling expanded universe, you know, it's really great to see.
I still miss Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
So, you know. R.I.P. Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I want to see the Hutts rise up, you know, kind of like they did in the...
And that's the thing. So. I'd like to see some of the, you know, classic things, maybe Bounty Hunter show up and that type of stuff. Yep. So, well, you know, like I said, send us messages, 5-star reviews, iTunes. Yeah. You know, you can find us
on, anything you listen to a podcast to. If you can rate us, do it. That would be awesome. 5 stars, whatever.
Look for us on our website on infamouspodcast.com. Yep. You can look about us and find us anywhere. If you want to send us messages directly, just let us know where you heard us. Or,
yeah, that would be great.
You know, strangers sending me messages is kind of weird. So, you know. But, yeah, thanks for listening. Like I said, let us know what you thought. And, you know, may the force be with you.
Yeah, may the force be with you. And everybody have a good time. And please don't spoil it for people.
Yeah.
Like, until, like, give everybody, like, a week.
I'd give everybody a month.
A month, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, definitely share this episode with your friends. Again, we're infamouspodcast.com, infamouspodcast on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Brian Tudor on Twitter. He's Johnny Podolf on Twitter. Let us know. And like Johnny said, may the force be with you. Bye.